Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Built Like This podcast. I'm your host Maxine on episode 313. Hi, hello, hello, hello. First, I want to just start out with some gratitude. Shout out to you all for your support. I've been receiving it and feeling it more and more lately, and it's showing. So to provide some context here, I didn't start the YouTube version of this podcast until like a year and a half ago. And I started off with like 12 subscribers. And that was even prior to me deciding to revert or change that YouTube channel to specifically for my podcast. And I had some reservations. You know, every time you start something new, you always have these like, but what ifs and these negative thoughts and yeah. But I decided to just go ahead and do it. And though I don't want to start with a negative thought, but the point is I decided to just go for it. And that is what I've been doing every week, every few days. I've been consistently posting and it's really been showing. So this might seem like a small feat or a small accomplishment to someone else, but it's a big deal to me because I remember how I started with just 12 subscribers and now I have 208, and I feel like that's amazing. Like, hello, I'm gonna quit my job today. Okay, no, I'm not gonna quit my job. I guess I'll still work a full-time job. But nonetheless, I am so grateful. And of course, the goal is to monetize and make a profit off of this. And hopefully that could lead me to doing this full-time. But in the meantime, of course, it'll be nice to have this as a monetizable portion of my life and the labor that I put into it. Of course, it'll be nice to monetize from it. So shout out to you all. If you are subscribed, thank you for your support. If you are listening and you're not subscribed, hello? What's going on? Go ahead and click the subscribe button on YouTube and make sure you are also subscribed and following this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. And yeah, this has just been amazing. So shout out to you all for your support and liking the videos on YouTube. All of that is seen and recognized. And it's really just going up from here. Seriously, it's going up from here. It's been more of a journey that I feel more comfortable in just putting myself out there. Because for the longest, it's only been just the audio version. And even on YouTube, when I started on YouTube, I didn't show my face yet. Because I always felt like I had to be like super perfect. But at this point, it's like, look, hello? You'll get what you get and you don't get upset. But anyway, here we are. Let's go ahead and get into these topics. So Meg Thee Stallion is being sued. And she is being accused of forcing her cameraman to watch her have sex. Yes, pronounce it out. So what does it spell? You know what it is. So he's being dragged by other commentators about this because people are like, oh, you know, you should take it like a man, and you're milking the situation, and this is silly to sue her for. But I don't think he's in the wrong. I really don't. Even like, regardless of how it may look optically that he's trying to just get a come up, nonetheless, if he was actually put in a situation in which he is being forced to watch his employer, essentially, to engage in actual intercourse with whomever, that's not okay. That is not okay. Just as it won't be okay, or how it's already seen as not okay, if this was a woman in this position being forced to watch her male boss penetrate someone else, it's not okay the other way around as well. So this is a Houston cameraman. And he says Megan Thee Stallion forced him to watch her have sex with another woman and has filed a lawsuit against her. This cameraman's name is Emilio Garcia. And I saw a picture of him. He's gay. Okay, he's gay. Now, who's to say if he wasn't gay, if it'll be like a big deal still? You know what I mean? Like, I wonder what would have been his response. Like, would he have been in a position where he could have joined in, you know? But he's good. So Emilio Garcia filed the papers, and in those papers accused Meg Thee Stallion of sexual harassment and a hostile work environment. He also accused Stallion of fat shaming him. Now, okay, let me keep on reading because there's some things I want to bring up, but let me just give you guys some context. So the lawsuit is seeking more than six figures. Garcia began working with the rapper in 2018, becoming her full-time personal photographer. In this lawsuit, he said he was traveling with Megan in Spain in 2022. And after a night out, the rapper and another woman began having sex next to him in an SUV. According to the filing, the plaintiff could not get out of the car as it was both moving and he was in the middle of nowhere in a foreign country. He was embarrassed, mortified, and offended throughout the whole ordeal. He says, quote, "I felt uncomfortable. I was kind of frozen. And I was shocked at kind of just being the overall audacity to do this right beside me," he said. After the incident, Garcia said Megan started to treat him differently. He said that Megan fat shamed him, calling him a fat B-I-T-C-H, telling him to spit out your food. He said he felt degraded, of course, to hear someone who advocates about loving your body tell me these things. He felt degraded. He also talked about how he worked without basic insurance coverage and suffered wage violations. This is an employment claim for money with no sexual harassment claim filed and with salacious accusations to attempt to embarrass her. We will deal with this in court, one of Megan's attorneys said. Now, let's go with the assumption. The belief that what he is saying is accurate, that he was put in an uncomfortable position in the car, in an SUV, in which he's in the back row, probably the same row, unless it's like a two-row back seat. But nonetheless, he was in a back row, and from what he's saying, he couldn't get out the car or he couldn't move to another area. So let's assume that he's on the same row as Meg Thee Stallion and this other woman who was allegedly engaging in sexual intercourse with Meg Thee Stallion. And he's there in the backseat. They're in Spain, foreign country. Like, there's no way out. Like, he literally has to see, he has to hear, he has to be in proximity of this intercourse. I will be upset too. And it's not because, oh, I'm a prude or anything. Like, look, your girl got some stories. And I think I've talked about it here on this pod. I'm a little bit of a voyeur, and I've been in situations, well, just one, I'm just not making it seem like it's been so many, but there was one time when I was a voyeur, and it was a good time. But the point is, that was a choice that I made. It was an understanding that happened, and nobody was put in a position where there was some coercion. Anyone could leave. It was at my place, actually. This was a long time ago when I was still friends with this girl back in the day, but this was a long time ago. Yeah, before she got married, before they were still engaged. But anyway, the point is, this was a long time ago. And there was an understanding, there was consent, there was, it was like, it's like, ooh, do you consent? It wasn't like that. It was just like, we both knew what it was, okay? Now, in this case with Garcia, he is alleging he didn't know what it was, or he wasn't in cahoots with what it was. He wasn't in agreement with it. So why should he be subjected to see what's going on? And then some people are commenting like, oh, well, he doesn't have to watch. He doesn't have to. How am I not watching when you're right next to me getting your ass ate? Hello? What are we talking about? Like, what is going on right now? It's just so silly to me. I hate this, like, idea of, like, men being shamed from speaking up about being in uncomfortable positions. And I really do think he is a gay man, because I honestly believe if he wasn't, he probably would have been a part of this. Or these women would have felt so, because they're already obviously feeling so comfortable to do this in the public, in the back of a car, why wouldn't they naturally invite this man into this mix, right? And I feel like the only reason why they wouldn't invite him to this mix is because he is not interested in women, okay? So there's that. And they're not attracted to him. Like, it's all these things. Now, I've been hearing that it is not completely foreign or out of bounds to engage with men who are homosexual despite you being a heterosexual woman. Like, apparently that is something that happens. I don't know why that would. I think some things could be, what's the word? Misconstrued is the first word that I think of, but like, I don't know. If you're someone who's like, you know, cautious of where, what goes in your body, I would think twice about engaging in such an act with someone who is strictly homosexual, or even like kind of homosexual. Like, you know what I mean? Like, some things, I don't know. I don't want to get all, but you know what I mean? Like, I feel like some things are just not meant to, I feel like the asshole should not be engaged in. It's supposed to be in, things are supposed to be put out. It's a purging. When you poop, you are purging out the toxins, the what you had for dinner two nights ago that was stuck up in your abdominal area is now being pushed out of your ass. Now, you mean to tell me you want to dig in your ass? It doesn't make sense. It's not natural. Oh my gosh. Oh my, okay, let's move on. The point is, I said what I said. And in this case, this cameraman, he was put in an uncomfortable position, and it's not okay that he should just like suck it up, or he's being a chump. Like, no, it's not okay. Like, regardless of how, ooh, they were just having fun, they were just having a fun time, that's not fun. That's not fun when you don't have a choice in the matter. Y'all can do whatever y'all want to do, but in the proximity of me who did not give consent to it, it's not as simple as, oh, I'll just be on my phone while you get your ass eaten. What? Like, come on. She don't want to be a freak no more. No, I'll be freak no more. Anyway, shout out to Meg Thee Stallion. Hello? Not in Spain. Shout out to Meg. I don't know who the other woman was. I wonder who. But anyway, the point is, it's not okay to be put in a position where you are being coerced in any way, whether you're being coerced to participate or you're being coerced to watch and be in the vicinity of. Like, that is not okay. So if that is the case and that is what took place, he deserves whatever he is suing her for, especially since apparently there were some violations with his wage and didn't even have basic insurance coverage. Like, I don't understand these jobs and these entertainment businesses, or just in the entertainment industry. Like, why? Like, the idea is, oh, they get paid so much, or you know, they're living this luxurious life, but they don't have basic insurance. This is something that the common folk has. Like, that is expected. That is already in the contract with our regular jobs. But you're a full-time photographer for Meg the Stallion, and you don't have basic insurance coverage? Like, this whole idea of like working in these particular spaces is just all a lie, because you are being bamboozled to thinking that this is a better opportunity, when in all actuality, you have to be very mindful of whatever you're signing and not go in with the assumption that it's going to be better. No, it's not going to be better. Not all the time, at least. Well, yeah, so she's being sued for an unconsented freak off. That's what it was. Okay. Speaking of freak offs, let's talk about Neo. Neo. Neo has been making these public rounds with two girlfriends. He has two female partners who he has been seeing for some time now, since his divorce. And these are two beautiful women, fairly attractive. And they're walking around in wherever they are in this clip. I'll show in a moment. But they're being very casual and comfortable and yada yada yada. And look, here's the thing. Polygamy, let's just look at, because I always get confused with what the fuck is polygamy and what the fuck is polyamory. Polygamy is the practice or custom of having more than one wife or husband at the same time. We don't talk enough about the husband part, right? It's always the more than one wife part we speak of. I remember watching this show on HBO, well, Max, excuse me. I watched a show on Max months ago. It was a really good show. It was about this cult. Well, they didn't proclaim themselves as a cult, but there was just basically a community of people who lived together in the woods because they want to increase their natural instincts and survivalist skills. Very fascinating. I think it's a real show. I've been trying to stay away from conversations about reality TV in regards of, oh, this is fake, that's fake. It's like, stop. Even if it is fake, let me believe it's real. This is my moment to really believe this lie. Let me believe the lie. Like, I just hate the, oh, that was fake. Like, I'm watching a show called Never Ever Met on the OWN channel. And there's this couple, Dominique, and I forgot that girl's name. But anyway, black man, black woman, and they're in this relationship, Never Ever Met. And the concept of the show is you have these couples who have only been having a virtual relationship. They've seen each other FaceTime, Zoom, only online, only on a screen, but they have never met up with each other face to face, in person, tangible, ever. Okay. And literally, some of them have been together for years. 12 years is the longest on the show. There's one couple who's been together for 12 years, but I don't know what that exactly means. Like, what do you mean they've been together for 12 years and haven't seen each other in person in 12? Like, what does that even mean? Huh? So, anyway, they finally decide to agree to meet and figure out their schedule. And they all are living in the same house together. Every couple together in the same home. So one of the couple, one is named the guy's name is Dominique, and the girl's name, I can't find her name, but nonetheless, they went on their first date. It was a little bit of a vibe, but it ended up turning into the shits because he started to bark at her, essentially, like buck up at her because he felt like she was flirting with someone else right in front of his face. And it just, why did I bring this up? What was the connection here? Polygamy. I talk about polygamy. I won't talk about polyamory. Yeah, this is really how my brain works. I be talking about, I have so many tabs open, like literally right in front of me, and I have tabs open in my head. But I'm organized, but I just have a lot of things in my head. I don't know. Why did I bring that up? She won't be a freak no more. I dead as don't remember why I brought that up. Anyway, let's move on. Polygamy. Polygamy is, yeah, the custom, da, 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 right? Okay, that's polygamy. Polyamory is what? Because what? Polyamory is a consensual non-monogamy. Is the practice of having multiple intimate relationships, whether sexual or just romantic, with the full knowledge and consent of all parties involved. So I think the main difference here is polyamory is outside of marriage. It doesn't have the confinements or legalities of a marriage. As for polygamy, it is specific to marriage and having multiple wives. So Mormons, a lot of them, like fundamentalist Christians in Utah and places like that, who are primarily places like that, that are primarily religious based like that, they have polygamous relationships or marriages. But it's always the sense of multiple wives. Anyway, why did I bring that up in the first place? Neo, okay. Anyway, so Neo is in this polyamorous relationship with two women who are seemingly aware of each other because they're clearly in this clip holding hands. Neo's in the middle and they're at his sides. And a lot of people are trying to accuse Neo of being a homosexual. There's a lot of these older videos and clips of him coming across a little zesty, a little gay, with the earrings, with the, he had a tongue ring at some point in his career. And they're saying he's forcing us to believe that he is this straight man and that he loves women. He only wants to be women. Like, he is forcing people to believe this. I don't know if I believe that or not. I feel like he probably is straight. I think he is straight. And he probably really is in this polyamorous relationship. It is what it is. But he's being discredited because, oh, we don't believe that he's, like, actually gay. I mean, we don't believe that he's straight. Let me go ahead and play this clip real quick. Because he starts off by talking about...
As an advocate of dating multiple women at once, being married before, what are your thoughts on legalizing polygamy?
Legalizing polygamy? I didn't know it was illegal.
It's illegal. Like, you can't get married, but you can obviously have more than one girlfriend.
I feel like in the realm of love and romance, you should let people do whatever the hell they want to do.
Yeah?
Can't see how it's hurting anybody.
Exactly. Would you, I mean, do you think it should be legalized?
Sure, why not?
Would you fight at the
this woman, whoever the reporter is, sounds so annoying. Would you, I was just wondering, as an advocate of, nobody said he's an advocate. He just so happens to have two female partners.
In D.C. with the lawmakers?
No, because to be honest, I don't need the government to tell me what it is I can and can't do.
Yeah.
My personal life.
But if you wanted to get married to more than one woman, Would you consider doing that? Or would you want to even get married to multiple women?
I don't know.
Yeah?
I'm not gonna let it ruin my day.
Okay.
The people I love know I love them and they love me.
Why don't you write songs about dating multiple women? You're always just like, you know, gassing up one lady at a time when you're writing music.
I mean, the songs come out depending on the situation and the circumstance.
Okay.
This is the first time that I've been in a relationship or situation like this, so.
And how is it?
I say that no songs about it will come to pass. They'll come.
I love it.
I don't force it when it comes to music. It happens naturally. It happens organically.
You recommend the situation you're in now?
No.
Why?
I don't recommend anything to anybody. what works for me might not work for you, and vice versa.
I know that's right. What works for me may not work for you. Go at your own pace. Go at your own risk.
So girls, find out what works for you.
Can I ask your girls, would you want to get married with two women and Neo? Something you'd be open to? See you guys. Bye. Thank you.
Look at them. They can't even speak. Clap your booty cheeks twice if you need help. Hello? I mean, look. Would they still be with him if he wasn't worth however much? This nigga worth $100 million. Like, he is rich. Who knows? Because people... Anyway, the point is, I don't know. I mean, Neo must have some type of aesthetic or game or lure to him that maybe even stronger than his money. I'm not even sounding convincing by saying that. I'm sure his money has a lot to do with it. And, you know, okay, it is what it is. Yo, I'm reading a comment that was sent to my, to the latest video. The one that I made back to back. Shout out to that video, that episode 312. Someone said, shout out to Big Nate MCBC. If you are listening, hello. Thank you for your comment and listening to this podcast. He says here, as much as I want to be hurt about the Boston talk, I can't be mad because we stay away from Dudley. LOL. If you know, you know. Okay. I'm dead ass. There are some areas. There's a caliber of men you have to stay away from if you're from Boston. That is Roxbury, that area. Definitely Dudley. Shout out to that mention. I even forgot about Dudley. I'll just focus on Roxbury. Dorchester as well. Mind you, I'm from Dorchester. Maybe I'm the problem. No, but dead ass. There, somebody's... Just think of Bobby Brown, and I know he was not responsible for Whitney being the drug addict that she was. I know. Trust me, I knew that from the beginning. I knew that already. But the point is, I'm sure he didn't help. I'm sure Bobby Brown did not help her get sober. I'm sure he didn't say, hey, you know what? Let's put the crack pipe down, Whitney. Let's put it down tonight. Let's just watch TV. Have a sober night in. I think a lot of times is these men from Roxbury, Dorchester, Dudley, the Bronx. I mean, we can talk about New York too, right? The Bronx, Brooklyn. Sorry, no, I can't really speak about New York. So forgive me, any New Yorkers. That was a joke. But I could talk about Boston because I'm from Boston. Stay away from those men. Stay away from me, Apollo. Stay away. They just know. No good. Just psychos. Just fucking psychos. Just. Ooh, too. Yeah, psychos. The answer is no. Anyway, so yeah, Neo is in this relationship. And, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I don't really see what the big deal is. I feel like people are trying to make it more than what it is. I'm sure his money is an appeal, right? It's definitely appealing to these women. And maybe he has something more than that that has been even more attractive for them. Who knows? Nonetheless, I feel like he probably got something going on, right? Like something about him is giving the allure. And I think sometimes with some people, they can't be with one person. And in his last marriage, he got in trouble. They got a divorce because of his cheating. You know what I mean? Like, just stay in your truth. If you need to be with multiple women, you know, if you need to be with multiple people, then so be it. So anyway, that's that. So shout out to Neo. Now, would I recommend? No, I don't know if I would or wouldn't necessarily. I think do what works best for you. I feel like it's about the person, right? If the person you're with gives you all that you need and makes you feel supported, appreciated, loved, all that, then that could be a conversation to have about, like, what does that look like? But it's a lot of decolonizing and deconditioning that has to be done in order for that to take place, because we live in a society in which it's not encouraged or normalized to have multiple partners at the same time that is aware of each other, right? Like, say all of that too, right? You know, it's, you know, we've all heard stories of so-and-so having his other family down the block from his other family. Like, that is nothing is new under the sun. Nothing is new under the sun. But, you know, hey, if you like it, I love it, child. If you like it, I love it. Okay, let's talk about this mom who, oh, Sloan Bettle is live. Hold on, I gotta go by. It's like, no, this is lady I've been watching on YouTube. Her name is Sloan Bettle, and you guys may already be aware of her because she has been going viral in recent events. The Diddy situation, her calling out just a lot of different things and predicting them to be the case and it actually being the situation in reality. She is a psychic, a medium, an astrologer, the whole nine. And I watch her videos because I just find the whole topic entertaining. And I just take bits and pieces if I want to and apply it accordingly to my life. If I desire, but the curiosity is always there and the entertainment factor is definitely present. So shout out to her. But yeah, she's live right now. Should I just cut off real quick? And I gotta go because I have to attend my ride class. I've been going to ride lately. This is not a paid sponsorship or paid commercial, even though it should be, so I'll keep it short. But it's been definitely amazing to be focused about my fitness journey. It's definitely helping my mental health, as well as just the fitness goals that I have for myself and feeling good in my body. I feel like I've lost a little bit of weight, so that's been good. But I just feel more just alert and prepped and ready and excited and motivated, all these things. I'm thinking about new fitness clothes that I have to wear. Not have to, but like have to in the sense of I need to upgrade some fitness wardrobe that I have. The fitness wardrobe that I have, and including my sneakers. Anyway, this is nothing that you probably care about, so let's move on. Sorry, I get like this. Okay. Chris Brown, Quavo, Kendrick, I'm still waiting for you to give your retort to Drake. What's going on? Like, I was actually tuned in. I'm mad at J. Cole, but hey, I respect your mental health. But damn, J. Cole, it would have been nice if he was in the running still. Because for so long, I remember when Drake came out. This was when I was in undergrad. Drake was that Negro. Like, he was, ooh, you heard of Drake? Ooh, who's Drake? Ooh, I love Drake. Like, and it was all, they all came out at the same time. Kendrick, Drake, J. Cole. Kendrick, Drake, J. Cole. Even Wale was kind of in there. But ultimately, the big three were those names. Kendrick, Drake, J. Cole. So the fact that Kendrick named that finally very clearly and verbatim in that song, but what the big three? It's just Big Me, nigga. That was so exciting. Like, oh, okay. Not him naming it and standing on his business. And then going mute afterwards. Like, what's that about? But then for J. Cole to just bow out. Like, this is a respectful sparring. You know, in rap, that is a part of the course. So I was just so disappointed to see how he quickly bowed out after giving such a great rap. Drake has been very consistent, as he usually is in these situations. This is nothing new to him. What I don't like to see, though, is the pylon. I don't know where this beef came from between Drake and Future. Like, they had an album together. So what happened? And then Drake and Rick Ross, they were together at some point in his career. Like, I think it's a little bit of hate, a little bit of jealousy. Something's going on. Now, Chris Brown is in the mix because of what? Because he has beef with Quavo, who was dating Karrueche at some point after Chris Brown dated her. And if you guys remember, Chris Brown and Karrueche had a tumultuous relationship, so much so that it led to her filing restraining order against him. Like, it was a mess. It was a mess of a relationship. Anyway, so I think that is the basis of their beef, which I find to be so ridiculous. Like, first of all, she's a grown-ass woman who decided to date someone after you. So that means you're going to beef with the guy. Like, that doesn't make... It'll be one thing if she cheated on Chris with Quavo. And if that's the story, then okay, then so be it. But the impression is simply she just moved forward. They ended their relationship. And she moved on with Quavo. Okay. Kendrick still has yet to talk about anything. He has not released any updated response. Just silent. Like, hello? Did I say Quavo? I meant to say Kendrick. Yeah, Kendrick did not say anything since. I don't know where Kendrick's been. If he had a family emergency, he's taking a break. Like, what's going on? Anyway, so Jill Scott is in the mix. Why? Why is Jill Scott in the mix? Child. Let's talk about Jill Scott. Jill Scott isn't going to let Chris Brown's checkered past block her enjoyment of listening to him lyrically pummel Quavo. She's been fending off critics who wish she didn't cape for Chris. So this is in reference to Chris Brown releasing a diss track about Quavo and how very creative and exceptional of a diss track it is. And I think the irony is you wouldn't expect Jill Scott to be in this conversation, to be in this beef at all. Like, why does she even decide to make a public comment? But nonetheless, everyone has the right to do so. Everyone is a consumer of this, whether you want to or not. It is put in our face. She says, quote, or she tweeted, "Beyond gifted, it appears exceptional people have to go through exceptional fire emoji." That's what she put down after that. After that word, there's nothing to debate. And this apparently struck a nerve with fans on X. Many felt Chris Brown had gone too far on the diss, especially with his record of domestic violence with Rihanna. So in the diss track, he referenced, or was it the second one? Because there was one diss track he said he wished that Quavo was dead and not Takeoff. And he mentioned that you was hitting your woman, because this was in response, because Quavo put out a response to him saying, you already, like, go beat up another woman. Basically, you know, referencing the DV situation with Rihanna. But if you guys forgot, Quavo had a similar situation, not too similar, but it was similar, just slightly, in which he was being physically abusive towards Saweetie, who he was dating for some time, and they were in the elevator together. From the elevator footage, it seemed that she was grabbing the PS5 from him, and he wouldn't let go, or she wouldn't let go, and it became this tug and war. She ended up like falling against the elevator wall, but it wasn't something that you saw him punch her down like we saw Chris do to Rihanna. Like, that wasn't there. And if you give context to it some more, Chris Brown was 17 at the time when this happened. Quavo was in his 20s. Quavo was in his 20s at this time when he was in that situation with Saweetie. Not to say it's excusable in either situation, but let's just be clear here. Chris was a child. He was very young, stupid. But the argument continues because it's like, well, it'd be one thing if it was like a one-time thing, because allegedly he was like that towards Karrueche. I don't know to the same extremity, but it was still so much so that Karrueche felt the need to file a restraining order against him. That says a lot. So Chris Brown has been just not been given the opportunity for a second chance. I'm not here to tell him that he needs one necessarily, or like, I don't really care for him like that. I'm not much of a Chris Brown fan in regards to his music, because his music does sound played out in a sense of it just always feels like the same type of tune over and over again. Now, there have been several hits. Don't get me wrong. Pun intended. Oh, Lord. Sorry. But there has been several hits in which, oh, this track hit, like, oh, this track, oh, okay. I love Sensational. What? Play that song right now. Play that song right now. But the point is, it doesn't seem like a consistent thing that's throughout. And like, I tried a Chris Brown album when he released that, like, what was it, like a 26 song album? There wasn't a lot in that album that was good for me, for my taste. And that has been a consistent judgment I've had about his music lately. Anyway, it doesn't mean that he's any less talented. He is very, like, he is, God did something with him. Like, he is all around talented. Acting, dancing, singing, painting. He is very talented. Anyway, so just got tweeted that initial tweet that I said. Let me just read it again. She tags him, Chris Brown is amazing. How does anybody sing like that? Dance, look, act, and rap. Yeah, and he raps. And he's pretty amazing. Very talented. Look, act, and rap like that, beyond gifted. It appears exceptional people have to go through exceptional fire. There's nothing to debate. And let me go ahead and just share this screen with you all. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you for watching, and click that subscribe button. But yeah, so she's saying that. Someone responds and says, I think the woman he's abused would disagree. She responds and says, I doubt it. My mother's ex-husband was a mean, violent human, and he could lay foundation better than anyone in my city. What he did with cement was awe-inspiring. We got away, he got a raise and praise for his ability. God dealt with the rest. Now, a lot of people find that to be very disappointing from Jill Scott. They felt like she was being a misogynoir disguised as a woman, and yada, 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 yada. Here's the thing. I feel like a lot of time people don't know what nuance is. They don't know what compartmentalization is. They don't know what cognitive dissonance is. And they feel the need to only place him in this one box. My dog is doing the most right now. Can you get down? They only feel the need to put him in one box because of what he, the horrendous thing that he did to Rihanna. I understand. But I also feel like if Rihanna moved on, you know what I mean? Like if Rihanna moved, it'd be one thing if Rihanna had lived, like her life went to shits afterwards, right? If she became an addict, if she went to another abuser, you know what I mean? Like she never got out of the cycle. But if she got out of the cycle, if she was able to become just even better today and strive for better in life, become the mother that she is now and all, like, then I think we have to move on also. I think that this is a testament to the fact that we shouldn't tell everybody our business. We shouldn't tell our parents, our siblings, our friends, our personal business with our partner. Now, don't get me wrong. If you are in a life risk situation with your partner, then maybe you definitely should speak up. I'm not saying don't, but I'm saying in regards to like, oh, he's cheating on me, or he's sometimes he hits me up and sometimes he doesn't. Not in the sense of physicality, but what I'm saying is some things should be stayed at home and only in those parameters. Because when you decide to forgive and move forward and work on things with your man and both parties are in alignment, your friend, your sister, your mother, your father will still and always remember how you came to them upset, crying, understandably so, about whatever happened between you and your man. And despite you moving forward, despite you forgiving him, despite you guys actually really progressing and him changing his ways, and I'm moving this past the physical abuse part because, you know, typically that doesn't change. If you reference the cycle of abuse, unfortunately, it doesn't change for the most part. There are exceptions to the rule, but nonetheless, I just think sometimes in this case, it's just we've been talking about Chris Brown in the same capacity for so long. And any woman who decides to provide this level of nuance like Jill Scott is doing here is suddenly seen as this pick me or as this misogynoir type of person disguised as a woman. I just find that to be such a lazy ass response. Very, very lazy. So there we have it. She got dragged in the comments. She decided to come back. So she said here, let me share this real quick again. She says here in response, she decided to walk away. And she says here, so let me show you. Walk away, came back, Googled, read tweets, listened to friends, and considered the state of us as a whole. Some led with love. You gave me perspectives to consider and directive. Thank you. Some of you only want the highs of war. You may have your war. Jill Scott, this is not poetry slam. What? I was like, girl, just say you apologize if whatever I said offended anyone. That was not my intention. That's it. This whole, you may have your, that's a good line though. When can I use that? You may have your war. I think you could use that when someone's trying to argue with you and you're not even trying to entertain them. You could say, you know what? You may have your war. That should be like the title of this. Maybe that should be the title of this episode. Let's see. But that should be like some type of calling card. You may have your war. As for me, I live in peace. Okay? If you want to be mad, you want to be angry, you want to always pop off, you may have that, but it won't be with me. I'm not engaging. All right, ladies and gents, I got to go ahead and end this episode here. I got to head out and head to my class. get this ride on. It's Twerk Out Mondays, and it is the instructor that I go to. It's her 1 year anniversary at the spot, at the cycle spot. So it's gonna be lit. It's gonna be lit. And yeah, thank you so much for listening, you all. I appreciate your support. Make sure to tell a friend to tell a friend and hit the subscribe button. Leave a positive comment on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. All of that really matters. So I really encourage you to do that if you haven't yet. And make sure you are subscribed on YouTube. Thank you so much. And I will check in with y'all next time. Peace.